I'm Ben Langston, and this is the Up and Down Podcast. In this podcast, I interview everyday people about a time in their lives when they felt up and a time in their lives when they felt down. It's a really simple concept, and I'm going to follow it because I really think it's good to hear people's stories and think about how they relate to all of us. Our experiences of life obviously vary quite a lot, but the emotions we feel because of those experiences are similar and can show us that we're not always alone. I believe all of us need to share more about how we feel in life. Everyone has stories to tell, and I want them to be able to tell these stories on the podcast. If you like what you hear and would like to support what I'm doing, then you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/updown. If not, that's completely fine. I just hope that you get something out of listening to other people's stories. Hello. So today I spoke to Adrian. Adrian is 30 years old and he says that he's currently in a transition phase and the ups and downs that he talks about represents his current perceptions as to where he is at this current time in his life. The sound quality is not great on today's episode. I'm really sorry about that. It's nothing I can do. I try to fix it as much as possible. But Adrian just has a really, really quiet voice and it was an exceptionally hot day and we had the back door open so you can hear birds. I mean, that's quite nice. But you can also hear quite a lot of background noise and even an aeroplane that goes over at one point, which is a bit annoying and isn't really up to the standard that I would like, but you know, it is what it is. Anyway, so I hope you enjoy listening to what Adrian has to say. Thanks for joining me on the Up and Down podcast, Adrian. You can start with the up or you can start with the down. It's totally up to you.
So my down experience was, it happened in 2015. I went out drinking with one of my friends, really close friend of mine, in Leeds, and on the way back on the train I felt this overwhelming sensation. You can't really describe the feeling, but it's just like this onset of, you know, rush of emotions. And the thought which came to my mind at that time was God, the idea of God. And I breathed in instinctively or intuitively. I felt that's what I should do. So I was breathing in and calmed myself. About 3 hours later, I got back from Leeds, where I was for the night. I got back to Peterborough. Got to Peterborough, and as soon as I went to bed, as soon as I laid my head on the pillow, my mind exploded. That's the best way that I can describe what it was. It was literally an explosion. I suppose what the psychiatrists would deem as a psychotic experience.
Okay.
/ panic attack. And it also described what happened and all.
What would you describe?
I'm gonna get into that, on what my personal idea was about everything. Right, so my mind was blowing. The idea of self, of me, whatever that me is, my perception, the realization of I, was shot through into the skies, into the universe, the heavens, whatever. And I just saw stars everywhere and the darkness of space, and, purple and pink, red nebula, orange, whatever.
Were you asleep?
No, I was awake. And I was literally drifting, falling through the universe. So there was no stop. There was no end. I was just falling. And while this was happening, while I was in that state of awareness, I was aware that it was in my room as well. And I was shaking erratically. And sort of having these thoughts were rushing through my mind. And everything was happening at once. So it was like I was almost in two places at once. Just imagine you're in this room right now and the room disappears. Your idea of reality is completely vanished. It's extremely harrowing if you've not experienced some of those kind of experiences. On top of that, rushing thoughts. And I didn't know what to do at that time. What do I do? Do I get up? Do I scream? Do I shout? Do I go in the street, run around naked? And shaking, and I was putting myself in fetal position and I was crying it. So
So just for people listening then, what kind of state were you in before that? Had you been drinking?
Alcohol.
You've been, yeah, okay.
I had an alcoholic state. So to answer your question, wait, before I answer your question, it lasted, it felt like a lifetime, but it lasted about 2 minutes.
Okay.
So personally, me, this is a journey which started for me like since about 18 or 20. I've been quite interested in the spiritual realms, and I've always believed that as humans we have the ability to, I suppose, transcend and reach other states of consciousness, alternative states of consciousness, higher levels, whatever you wanna call it. And yeah, I've always believed that we can naturally get there. And yeah, that was part of my spiritual search, if you will. And I thought we'd get there naturally. Well, I always believed we could, and I still do. But what I did is I started experimenting with, well, besides meditation, drugs.
Okay.
So
was that to sort of control how you're feeling about, because of the impact of the experience?
No, I just want answers.
Okay.
That was before that major experience. Okay. Like, I'm speaking about the run-up into that. I'm just going to answer your question as to what I thought it was.
Okay.
So, yeah, I started experimenting with drugs, believing that it's going to give me this kind of awakening, which I suppose some people would call enlightenment, whatever. Magic mushrooms, LSD, and DMT. And yeah, each of them were great experiences. But I had this down, whatever, experience. I did it naturally, and the only drug which compared to what I experienced was DMT. And anyone who's done DMT, it's kind of this jolting experience in which you completely transferred or whatever into, like, instantly into this other state or DMT universe, whatever you want to call it. So I experienced the DMT levels without doing DMT.
Right, okay.
And science, whatever, as far as we know, says you're not supposed to be reaching those levels, and yeah, I've done it. Unless you do drugs, obviously.
Yeah,
I suppose science doesn't fully understand, you know, the metaphysical realms, and those people who do meditation are obviously on higher levels. So my experience, what I personally think it was, I mean, yeah, it was a bit of psychosis and a bit of anxiety, panic attack. What I think it was, ultimately, it was a spiritual experience, because what happened was, as I was in this mental state, I was given messages. Mm. Now, that sounds weird, but again, I had these intuitive feelings, and the first feeling that I got, it just felt like something was sending me gunshots, like warning shots, like telling me to stop trying to think above my pay grade.
Okay.
It felt like I was being kicked down back into this reality, telling me, like, dude, you're human, do human stuff. Go and hug people and cut the lawn and go to the toilet, go have a conversation, go have banter, go have a drink, whatever, just do human stuff. That's what you're here for. You're not here to reach those states. I don't think it's something that we should go and search for. And I think with us types who call ourselves spiritual, or anybody who's seeking, there's definitely a tendency to want to escapism almost. And in doing that, we don't realize the beauty of being a human, you know, how fragile this experience is. But with that fragility, there's kind of a beauty to life, in that we can exist and we can feel things and share things, and yeah.
So then from listening to you then, like, I have two questions. The first being, did you have any kind of idea about, or any feeling around, the messages that you were talking about and where they came from? Do you think it was just yourself, or do you not think?
To answer your question, I think I've kind of answered it, because, like, I was told to stop questioning and just do things.
Okay.
But to try and answer it, I don't know. It could be my subconscious mind. It could be the collective conscious of humans. It could be the quarks in the subatomic particles. Could be God, Krishna, Ganesh, or I don't know, something. It was something from a high level of other high level of consciousness, but I don't know what that something is. And yeah, I think it's important to kind of just trust our experiences. Like, you know, the transition when you go to sleep, and before you know it, you've woken up, so you don't have actually the actual realization of A equals B equals C. You've just kind of moved with the motion of sleep and waking state and dreaming. And I think that's what that level is. It's, I suppose, you know, high dimensional.
Does it bother you that you don't know? Or?
No, definitely not. Because okay. I've not met many people who searched as much as I have. I read everything from the occult to esoterica, spirituality. Yeah, and again, even doing the psychedelic drugs, which I think psychedelics are good, but you have to be prepared as to what they're going to show you. But anyway, it's another conversation. I definitely don't feel like I need the answers. And again, B, I don't think that we, as humans, we deserve answers.
So the other thing I was just kind of going to get into, but I might leave that for a second, actually.
Okay.
And just focus on, just to confirm, like, the leading up experience to it. So you were kind of in a space where you were searching for answers. So was that raising your anxiety levels when you were doing that and not finding anything that you kind of wanted to?
Before, no, definitely not. But when you're, how can I put this into words? Sometimes when we search or when we want something, it's as if we're not focusing on the journey, we're too focused on the outcome and the end result. And I suppose that's it. I was in because I just wanted to know, or I wanted to reach those high levels. Yeah, no, I can't really answer that question.
No, that's all right. Don't worry.
Trying
about
to think of when you, yeah, when it comes to these type of spiritual topics, which I suppose ultimately this was, well, that's how I feel anyway. Yeah, I suppose you have to learn from the experience. I can't really measure.
Yeah.
I can't really adequately measure these topics.
So it sounds like then the experience itself, while being a down, because it was kind of like an unknown thing and it felt like it lasted for a really long time, or like a lifetime, even though it was like a short space of time in terms of 2 minutes being measured. I guess from what you said, the upshot of it and the kind of end result of the experience is, sounds quite positive in terms of calming your mind.
That's what I was going to say earlier, but I think like we shouldn't put too much meaning on my experience being negative or positive. I think it's quite natural within humans to try and find meaning in abstract things and whatnot. And we're falling into the idea of duality, for example. This is good. That means that must be bad. And I think that as black as white as I am, literally speaking and actually speaking about this topic, I think that the only reason I called it a down was because at the time of that happening, it was the most harrowing experience of my life. So that's why I called it down. But the experience itself, it's not necessarily positive or negative, because I'm still living with that today. Because after that experience, it was like 4 years of anxiety. And 2016 was like the hardest year of my life with dealing with anxiety. And
how did you deal with that?
My experience of dealing with depression previously and anxiety was that anxiety makes depression feel like a walk in the park.
Okay.
Because you have absolutely no control, and I'm careful about using that word because that's probably what anxiety teaches us, that we can't control. When your mind decides to go on that trip, you have to wait until it decides to release you. How did I deal with my anxiety? I don't know, I just lived with it. And my previous experiences with mental health is that your mind will naturally try and heal itself when you've learned what you needed to learn. So literally my depression after years just vanished overnight. And I think I can accurately say that it's not something I'm ever going to deal with in this life again. Anxiety, the experiences are still in and out. But I think from all the main the main lesson from that experience was that I need to stop asking questions and just be a human. But more so, I need to learn balance. Learn to find balance.
So thinking about the longer term impacts of that experience, then what would you say those have been? And has it had any effects on, I suppose, how you interact with other people or relationships or anything like that?
What's been the long-term effect? It's been like imagine a wave that goes up and down. So after that experience, I went to sleep. I woke up and I was just in a daze. Like, I remember just putting on my jacket, going to there's a lake by where I lived. And I was just walking, doing laps around the lake. And it felt like there was no me. Like, in spiritual circles, we call this ego death. And as weird as it sounds, that was one of the best experiences of my life because I felt nothing. I was just pure. I just felt like a newborn person. And yeah, it's weird actually speaking about thinking back then, like, wow.
Is that something that you kind of hold with you now? Like,
yeah, it's weird. I've not actually thought about this so much in depth until now, which obviously means I'm still on some subconscious level processing it. But anyway, all my problems vanished. Like, there was no sense of self and I, and you did this to me then, and that person did that to me then. It was just like peace. And then after 2 or 3 days, I went back to myself and I realized, oh crap, I just had one of those like psychotic panic attack experiences. What do I do now? So that's when anxiety officially kicked in.
Okay.
Initially, I remember I would just like go up to my room and just hide under the blankets until the trip vanished. And yeah, I'd sleep and I was fine. I'd wake up and I was fine. And then it got really intense. I remember being in Hungary, and I was sleeping on my friend's floor, and I was looking at this like poster. There was like a little boy and a little girl, and they were like just pecking each other like on the lips or whatever, kissing, and they were in a boat and in the water, and I felt the emotions of what those kids were feeling, and it's just really weird. Just by looking at a picture, I was feeling what they were feeling. I felt the wind on my body, and yeah, that's where my experiences took me with anxiety. And obviously, when you have those experiences which seem larger than life, and you're dealing with it from an anxious perspective, I think anxiety for me anyway just heightened everything.
Okay.
So you might, I suppose.
So what, heightened other emotions?
Yeah, I suppose sense of releasing and feeling things which aren't there. But I definitely felt heightened. And I suppose as time went on, I learned to live with it instead of, I suppose, trying to find meaning in my anxiety or trying to give definitions to my experience. I've experienced what I experienced, and I fully believe it was something which I was supposed to experience at that time. And I suppose that helped my relationship with anxiety. Because I think, like, you know, people speak about mental health and, like, there's a taboo around this and a taboo around that, and we should be talking and calling people.
So do you mean, like, an ownership over not it not being something that defines you, then?
Yeah, not only that, we can't box everyone in the same category. You're dealing with your anxiety, I'm dealing with mine, and it's, we might use the word anxiety to kind of give it a box or meaning, and again, we're trying to give meaning to other people's experiences. Like, no, this is you, and this is your journey, and this is what you're experiencing in your story.
Yeah, no, totally.
That's for no one else to make sense of, you know?
You know, in some ways, that's the type of thing I want to get across by doing this sort of thing.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
great.
I mean, lots of people can feel completely different things, right? But it's the experiences, they're what we might share in some ways, you know? So your anxiety is different to my anxiety.
Exactly.
Is different to anyone else's anxiety.
Exactly.
But what kind of binds us is that human psyche of just existence, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. Very nice.
So do you have anything else to talk about in relation to that first section?
Did I have what notes? No, not really. Just, yeah, it's something which I suppose I'm still learning lessons from. A few other things which goes really into the realms of spirituality, but I'm not really going to get into that now.
Okay.
But yeah, no, that's my experience. It's weird. After that happened, after knowing that I've got things which I need to deal with, it's weird how that affected my life path. In that, so I was volunteering at that time with the British Red Cross. And after that experience, like a few months later, I got me a job in Peterborough at the council. Started saving a lot of money. Started creating a lot of stuff. And then, yeah, I just went traveling. And this is going to lead on to my next experience.
Okay.
Whilst traveling. But it kind of set in part, it kind of set a path in motion, which kind of got me to Bristol now. So, yeah, I definitely feel like there's something beyond our human understanding. It's definitely going on. But the difference now is that I'm not trying to find that something anymore.
Yeah, okay.
I trust that things will unfold as they are meant to. And all I have to do, you know, I've got to just ground myself as best as I can.
Cool. And so when you were traveling then?
So this is my other experience,
yeah.
The up moment. And I've had quite a few up moments. Like, I've had a really shitty life, like, generally speaking. Everyone has, but yeah, mine's been really shitty. And I'm doing the best. But my up experience. Before going to India, I've always been drawn to India.
Why do you think that is?
Mixture of things, so I reckon maybe a past life. But on top of that, I did recently do a genetics test. And one of the highest percentages which I got was Indian. It was like 10%.
Okay.
And I don't know, maybe the idea of ancestral memories. I don't know, something which I feel a strong connection to India, Mother India. And anyway, so there was two regions which I'm really drawn to, one being Goa, and the other was up north India, Himachal Pradesh I ended up in. And what happened was, I saved a lot of money when I went travelling, purely for the reason that I didn't want to work. I didn't want to have to think about money. I just wanted to wake up and go where I wanted. And when you're in that state and you have no blockages, your intuition is much stronger. And subconsciously, I suppose, you're picking up on things. And everything just seems to work out in that state. Right, going to India, especially in that state, was ideal. So I went to certain places based on feeling. And I found myself in Mumbai. And my friend in Mumbai told me, you have to go to Hampi, which is in the south. Everyone's going to Hampi, it's Hampi time. And I personally, something just told me, like, no, it's not your time for Hampi right now. And then I asked for a sign. And literally, I'm not even joking, 20 steps, walked, yeah, the east block was here, and walked around to the other block, around the corner. I saw this big sign. The name of the block of apartments was called Manali something, Manali apartments. And basically, remember, India's like a massive, really big country. Like,
yeah.
Mumbai is up here in like the, I suppose like west or slightly northwest or whatever, but Himachal and Himalayas are way up north and northeast. Well, anyway, that region is where I wanted to be. I needed to get the, well, I was going to fly to Delhi anyway, but I needed to get the bus to Manali.
Okay.
And just imagine, this is a big city in Mumbai. I don't know how many, probably tens of millions of people, if I don't know. So many space. I managed to be at that place, which said the name of the building was actually called, well, I needed to get the bus, which was the Manali bus.
Uh-huh.
And that's what this building was named. So in my mind, I was like, yeah, I'm going to the mountains now. And yeah, it was really surreal. Got up to the mountains and the first village that I went to was a village called Kasol. And it was just surreal being there. That's my up moment. Well, this moment goes on to another one, but
were you with anyone else or were you alone?
Well, I met loads of I was backpacking by myself, but
okay.
I met loads of travellers wherever I went. Yeah, for me, just being in the Himalayas, finding this is a place which I've always felt drawn to now. I'm seeing, you know, the majestic mountains, and those natural state was so surreal. Like, just remember, like, this tiny, and the mountains are massive, and the trees are massive, and it's a beautiful river flowing, which you can hear day and night. and at night time as well, seeing like the stars and the gas in the Milky Way, for me it was such a moment, because it's when I felt like I was just completely content with everything. I had no worries, no anxieties. I was just one with the universe, and it's the most surreal feeling you could feel. I remember waking up, I would rush to the top of the hostel, and I would just look, stare at the mountains for ages. And at night time, I would rush to the top, and I would just stare at the mountains for ages. And yeah, it was amazing. There's no one telling that you have to live your life this way, you have to do this, you have to pay that taxes, you have to, you know, there was nothing. There was just me, myself, and nature.
Yeah,
and when you feel the magnitude of nature, of Mother Earth, yeah, your problems become minute and they disappear. And that sense of serene peace and tranquility is not one which you could put into words. For me, that was such an up moment. I followed my intuition. That's where I got. And what happened after that was there was these two German girls who were traveling, and they were, it was, what's the Hindu festival of light which everybody celebrates?
Diwali?
It was Diwali, yeah. So basically, Diwali was coming up, and I don't think I know what I wanted to properly do. And at the last minute, they were like, oh, we're going to Manali tomorrow. And I was like, okay, cool. It was like, yeah, you have to stay in this hostel with us. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, and the next day we got in the bus getting ready for Diwali. And again, being at that other hostel again was just amazing. It was in this little village. Not even in the village, like on like this higher ground. So again, you had this moment, the most beautiful look of the Himalayas again. And a few things happened to me there as well. Firstly, I met this girl, an American girl called Piper, and she was someone who I definitely had a connection to. It's again one of those connections which I felt like, I don't know, our souls just were meant to meet or decided to meet in this lifetime, or I know you from a previous life or something, and she definitely was a mirror. And I felt like she was on my level, like spiritually, so it was someone that definitely allowed a lot of growth for me. Secondly, speaking to the owner of the hostel, it was someone who I really connected with. He was just like me. I think it was a young Indian, left, I think, Mumbai to go to the mountains because he felt like, oh, I want to start over. He got a hostel. And yeah, he created the space for, there was a lot of hostels around the place, but there was just something about this one which was slightly different. But he created the space where a lot of travelers came together and for that brief moment in time could, you know, share experiences. And just hearing his experience on life, the way he saw life, you know, I saw so much of myself in, you know, his journey, and those are the connections that, they might be brief, they might last for a long time, but they're the connections that definitely somehow guide you. And then finally, I met, there was these three British girls. They were traveling together. There was this one British guy, he was traveling by himself, and me. We all met and we were speaking, and I've been thinking for like, for a while, but definitely for the past week before that hostel, what do I want to do if I go back to England, or when I go back? And I thought, yeah, I want to come to Bristol. And yeah, we all met, we were speaking, and then the girls were like, oh, when we go back, we're moving to Bristol. And the guy, okay, the guy looked, he was like, oh, well, I'm moving to Bristol as well. And now in my mind, I'm like, wow. Right, well, that's definitely saying I am moving to Bristol.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just, the world seems to be moving to Bristol.
Yeah, so I stopped searching as such, but I just allowed the path to unfold as it should, and it all just happened the way it was supposed to be. And I suppose, again, now it's something which I'm learning to do, create my own kind of life, not one where I'm dependent on the working world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my experience.
Okay. I think there's quite a lot to be said for the whole, you know, being somewhere completely different. And that is definitely a part of the world where people's experiences, local people's experiences, are so vastly different to your own.
Oh, definitely.
And I think kind of the awe of that place as well, in terms of the just the sheer scale, in terms of if you're not used to seeing that, taking that in for the first time is pretty extraordinary. And I think we're quite privileged to be able to
kind of
to be able to see things in that way. Is there anything then that you've sort of taken from that experience into your sort of day-to-day life and to help you? You know, you've said there that you're aiming to and looking for opportunities to kind of remove yourself from the sort of day-to-day working life. Is there anything positive that you have taken forward from that experience to help you with this?
The main thought which came to me then was just the idea of trust. So we don't know the full path, but if you follow the breadcrumbs, follow our intuition, and even if we ask, I fully believe that there's definitely something which will guide us to our utopia, if you will, where we're supposed to be at that time. And yeah, that's my take from that experience.
Cool. So there's only one thing that I kind of do now, and I ask everyone, and it's sort of, I'm learning as I go on that get the question answered just before I ask the question. So I've got to work on my personal delivery. But that question is, if you could give somebody one piece of advice, what would that be?
Intuition. Follow your intuition.
The breadcrumbs.
Follow the breadcrumbs.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. Thanks for your time, man. Really appreciate it. It's been really interesting. I massively appreciate it. So yeah. I have to say, you've got excellent posture. So congratulations.
You see, I did warn you that the sound quality is not that great. I am sorry about that, but like I say, there's nothing I could do about it. Just hopefully won't repeat the same mistakes in the future. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I will see you all soon. Goodbye.